ABC Radio Australia.
First to Solomon Islands and the streets of Honiara, just days out from the election. Those are the sounds of parades and campaigns in Honiara as we inch closer to polling day. But while we can bring you the general atmosphere, we can't let you hear what politicians are saying because the country is now in the midst of a campaign blackout. And our reporter, Evan Wasuka, is joining us with more. With that, I say good morning, Evan.
Good morning, Aggie.
How's it going?
Oh, it's good. We're getting closer to the big day and everyone's excited. Glad to give you the latest from here in Honiara.
And of course, the latest is there's obviously sounds that, you know, it's quite dramatic. You haven't really sort of seen anything like this since 2006. Is that correct?
Yeah, look, the amount of activity we saw yesterday with all the campaigning happening and the trucks coming out, the candidates had their people on the streets. The street in front of me, Mendana Avenue, which runs through the middle of the city, was just chock-a-blocked with rival campaigns going on at the same time, and we had people shouting and cheering on each other. Some were pouring water. But there was definitely lots of excitement. Traffic came to a standstill. People couldn't go through the city for an hour or so during the morning part of yesterday. So there was certainly lots of intensity, and it carried on right throughout the day. There were even last-minute political rallies and candidates trying to, you know, convince that last of the voters to swing their way. But we can't actually talk about what the candidates were saying because right now there's a campaign blackout happening right across the country.
Which really isn't ideal for us as a politics show. But, you know, this blackout lasts for 24 hours. We'd love to know, why is this policy in place and what's its purpose? How does it serve in regards to these elections?
Yeah, it's interesting. This campaign blackout, it's part of the electoral laws here in Solomon Islands. And the idea is it gives voters a cooling-off period and gives them that peace and peaceful time to think about who they want to vote for. And, you know, Aggie, after the chaos of yesterday, you can probably understand why there's this provision in place. Yesterday, I caught up with the chief electoral officer, Jasper Highwood Anisi. And he's very confident that the elections will go according to plan. He says ballot boxes and the ballot papers are all in position throughout the country. But he was saying before we actually get to polling day, this campaign blackout needs to be observed. And it started at midnight last night and it continues for the next 24 hours.
So campaign blackout is within the Electoral Act 2018, Section 124. And all the activities, all candidates must refrain from all campaign activity. Campaign activities are defined under Section 5 of the Electoral Act. There will be no campaigning by any candidate contesting Honiara City Council elections or provincial assembly elections and parliamentary elections. Any activity that will induce voters, for example, wearing of T-shirt, putting up banner, posters, parades, floats, so those kind of activities should not be entertained during the 24-hour blackout prior to election.
And what's the rationale behind this blackout? Why is it important for the electoral process on election day on Wednesday?
I think this is an opportunity to give to the electors or the voters a time to reflect on candidates because there's a lot of influencing factors in terms of an elector might see a truckload of people and think that, oh, that's the winning candidate. And so giving them 24-hour blackout will enough time to reflect on what the candidate said and how they want to cast their votes or who they want to cast their votes for.
And in terms of monitoring and keeping an eye on the blackout, who will be doing this and how will it work?
Because it's an offence under the Act, so if you see any candidate doing this, you can immediately go to the police and report them because it's a criminal offence under the Electoral Act and start and lay complaint and charge and give your evidence to the police.
And as we go towards the final day before the national election, how are things going, and is there more details you want to share with the public?
I just want to say that in terms of from the election management body, we are prepared to go to polls on the 17th of April. In terms of logistical arrangement, everything is in place, and I would like to thank the partners, especially through Australian government and New Zealand government, for supporting us in terms of for the logistic of deploying all election materials to the provinces. Like here in Solomon Islands, one of the biggest challenges is the geographical location of the islands. They're so scattered, and logistic is a challenge for us, but with assistance from the donor partners, I think it really supports us, the election management body.
So all the ballot boxes and papers and everything is in place around the country?
Yes, I can confidently say that everything is deployed to the provinces and to the respective polling stations and areas. The next task that we're looking for is the retrieval of all the materials back to the counting centres in the provinces.
And in terms of security for the election, the police are looking after it. Any concerns from the electoral office?
We want to be positive, and we know there are certain places that we want to pay attention to, but all in all, during the polls, it should be a peaceful time where citizens can go and exercise their democratic right.
And that was Jasper Highwood Anisi, Chief Electoral Officer of Solomon Islands, calling on the public to inform on those who break the 24-hour campaign blackout. Even, I know campaigning isn't the only thing that's about to be blacked out. I understand that there's a week-long liquor ban that's in place. I suppose that's part of the security measures that's been put into place, correct?
Yes, that's right, Aggie. It's all part of the security measures right throughout the country. There's lots of police presence pretty much everywhere here in the capital. Police have been on patrol. Yesterday, because of all the floats and the parades, there was a lot of police presence across the streets. You mentioned the week-long liquor ban. Yeah, that usually happens around election time, and that starts today and will continue for the next week or so. So Aggie, the Deputy Police Commissioner, Juanita Matangi, says there are certain hotspots around the country that they're keeping an extra close eye on in the lead-up to Election Day.
We deploy most of our senior executive to the provincial areas to support our provinces to target those hotspot areas, the areas that we receive information that could pose some threat to our election. So most of our executive members being deployed out there to support them by giving awareness to the public. Most of our police officers are assigned to each polling station. Not everyone will be in those polling stations, but we put in place mechanisms to ensure that police officers on the ground oversee other polling stations that we regarded as peaceful polling stations. Our priority focus are those polling stations that we've identified that have some issues that we need to closely monitor. According to the advice from the commissioner, the Chinese, they were involved in engagement earlier. They were working on engagement with the team. The RPNG, they are deployed to various provincial centres and also substations. The military and SIAF, under SIAF, they also have different locations that they will be deployed to. So it's already been part of the plan to work in partnership with different bilateral partners that we have to ensure that we maximise their support towards our work for the election.
That's Deputy Police Commissioner Juanita Matangi there, pointing out that they've had assistance from bilateral partners, including China and Papua New Guinea, in the lead-up to Election Day. Evan, despite there still being, quite a bit going on there in Honiara, I understand that the city is actually emptier than it normally is.
That's right, Aggie. Yeah, apart from yesterday's float parades and all the campaigning, the city, Honiara, is pretty quiet. Not everyone, but a lot of people have left or are trying to leave to get to their home villages where they can actually vote. Tomorrow will be a public holiday, But with so many people traveling to vote, it's having an impact on shops and businesses. Even the hotel where I'm staying, it's operating on a skeleton staff. And it's a similar story right across the country. The elections is having an impact on businesses. To find out more about this, yesterday I caught up with the chair of the Solomon Islands Chamber of Commerce, Naomi Kaluai, who says that although the business community are strong supporters of the election, they're also feeling the negative impact it's having on business houses.
The business community, we're very watchful during this time of elections, especially based on past experiences. The concern will be security, especially during the formation of the government. The business community also supports free and clean elections by enabling their employees to practice their democratic rights to vote, whether in Honiara or the provinces. And we're also always very optimistic as we are looking forward to the first 100 days of the government, where we will see what the government's priorities or policies will be in terms of the business houses.
At this time for the elections, we see lots of movement of people. A lot of workers are traveling to vote in their constituencies and province. What's the impact of this big movement of people for business community?
There is definitely impact on businesses. For example, releasing of staff, meaning fewer workers in businesses. For example, I would give an example. This morning I went to a bakery and there was no bread. So this is very unusual. And the explanation given was we have very skeleton staff to deliver as everyone's gone for elections. Also, there will be certain businesses that will not operate as well during this time. For example, we have a 10-day liquor ban starting from the 17th. This will affect outlets as well as employees who won't be doing anything for the next 10 days. So basically, minimal service delivery. With this said, businesses have been alerted of this situation in advance already. And so individual businesses have set their contingency plans and actions in place to counter for loss of businesses. One good example would be employees agreeing to use their holiday time or advance holiday for this period.
Because you're a business owner yourself, how are you coping with this current situation and time?
As I've mentioned, so because this is being given to us in advance, we have plans in place. So I think for my business, there is a lot of us voting in town as well. So, but we do have people who have family members who have gone, and you know, they have to plan in advance, and you know, have everything set. Especially for their family, because this may be family members looking after their children while their partners come to work, but now they have no one looking after. So it's basically planning in advance for people like us.
Good. Finally, any other thing you want to add to our conversation regarding elections and the business community?
Yes, I'd like to, you know how one of the things that we discussed, especially within the business community, is all of us, we know how geographically spread Solomon Islands is. And it's obvious that traveling to and from the islands will have to happen if we don't move ahead in using maybe online voting or things like that. We are in the tech world now, so voting online is doable. This will also enable people outside of the country to practice their democratic rights. For example, the labor mobility group. So it's something to consider and work towards for the next elections.
And that's Naomi Kaluai speaking there. She's the chair of the Solomon Islands Chamber of Commerce. Evan, of course, you've travelled back home there to the Solomon Islands to be able to vote. How significant has it been for you to be home to do this?
Well, it's been really special coming back for the ABC here to Honiara. I was last, I covered the last election in 2019. I can see lots of big differences between then and now. For example, the parties are a lot stronger. the parades and the campaigning is more organized. You're seeing groups of people in color T-shirts and banners. So in terms of parties, it's really looking much more organized, more people out in the streets during the campaigning process. So I'm enjoying my time here and just noticing the differences happening in between 2019 and this year's elections.
And of course then, so you will be voting there in the capital. Like, where will you be setting up for tomorrow?
Well, the first thing tomorrow will be coming to you from West Honiara, which is where we've lined up to be there for the first of the opening of the polling station. And then later on during the day, when I have some free time, I'll be heading over to the eastern side of town to cast my vote in in the constituency where I'm registered. So it's going to be a busy day, and lots of Solomon Islanders I know are trying to get to the polling station early and avoid the crowds. So polling stations will open at 7 o'clock tomorrow. I'm sure there'll be lots of people waiting in line to cast their votes tomorrow early.